Okay, I ran across that chart this morning, or diagram, and I know this is something we've talked about many times on the show before, but I thought you could maybe intuit from the map, like the map of the world, how this works. But the United Kingdom, British Islands, Great Britain situation needs to be brought under control.
I thought, so you sent this to me, and I like the Venn diagrams that you sent, because they're pretty descriptive, especially the first one. It makes it easy to see. But I thought we've covered this on the show in the past, so I was surprised that you seemed surprised by this.
I don't think I got as far as, I don't know what Guernsey is. I don't know the Isle of Man
Jersey
is. I mean, I guess I've heard of that. Yeah. But, all right, so I didn't realize that the British Isles is different than the British Islands.
I got to say, this British Islands circle in the Venn diagram is not something I was familiar with either. But it does make sense.
Yeah. In that it's like a geological distinction versus a political distinction. We've got,
Well, yes. Well, we're not. Let's describe this.
I don't know how I'm going to verbally describe this. You give it a shot.
Well, I'll say, okay. Have you heard about this place? Scotland and Wales and England. Those are actually three places. And they make up, they're separate things, and they also make up Great Britain. And I'm not going to give any other nouns to any of these things. I'm just going to keep calling them things. So you got Scotland, Wales, and England, and they make up Great Britain, which you've also probably heard of. You've also probably heard of the United Kingdom, which is what you get when you take Great Britain and then you add in Northern Ireland, which is why sometimes you hear people talk about Great Britain and Northern Ireland, aka the UK. Okay, then now that we brought up Ireland, let's talk about Ireland. Ireland's an island, but it's split up into Ireland, not to be confused with the island, but Ireland the state, which is the green and white and orange flag. And then Northern Ireland, which you've probably heard of for various reasons as well, especially if you're in the IRA or something like that.
Real heads, real heads know about Northern Ireland. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got that. And if you combine, now you've got the United Kingdom, and we've talked about Ireland, and you kind of see the overlap there, which is Ireland, the island, has Northern Ireland, and then you got United Kingdom, which has Northern Ireland. So that's how those two things are connected. And then if you take all of those together, if you take those two things together, now you call that the British Isles, except we've skipped over.
Yeah, this is not. Yeah, you were going so well for a bit. This has gotten confusing again. All right.
Except you're going over, you got a couple other things that you've probably heard of and you have no idea what they are. And I would say you're in line with both of us. I mean, they're islands. I know they're islands. But what do you do there? Couldn't say. You got the Isle of Man. You've got Jersey, a.k.a. Old Jersey to me.
Fake Jersey.
yeah. We got New York and New Jersey over here. And they've got Old Jersey and Old York over here.
Old York, not an island.
Over here.
Because you are currently over there.
Because that's where I am. And I'm also saying over here because I'm American and New York / New Jersey. And so I'm also here.
Yeah, you're doing such a good job of clearing this up, dude.
And if you add those in, you've got the British Isles.
And Guernsey.
And apparently if you add, I said those. Isles of Man, Jersey, and Guernsey.
All right.
And, and I'm not going to acknowledge the British Islands because I don't think that that's that important. I'm just going to say.
Okay.
That's just the partially first chart.
Yeah.
But I think those are, I think the thing.
I think the second chart ends up being more helpful.
I got to say, disagree. I think you like the emojis, but I think.
No, I like that they've distinguished the difference between, so we've got British Isles meaning the geological archipelago and the socio-political British Isles, which refer to the British Isles plus the Channel Isles, which God knows what that means. But the Channel Isles and the Isle of Man are of course, crown dependencies. Isle of Man, part of the geological archipelago of the British Isles, not...
I think it's because
UK.
I think the channel that's being referenced here is the one that's in between here. And again, here means the UK in this case, and France, which is none of these things.
Yes, it might France be easier to start with the things that aren't maybe part of the situation.
Yeah.
But okay, so you are over. Where are you now? Are you in the UK right now?
Yes.
Okay. How
about I test you? I've told you the city that I'm in, so let's test.
Yeah, I know. You're in Great Britain. You are first of all.
Start from the top.
Yeah, macro. You are in the British Isles.
Let's go even higher. Let's extrapolate from here.
You want to go hemisphere?
I'm in the
Northern Hemisphere.
I'm in the continent. Yes, Northern Hemisphere. I'm in the. Actually, to be honest,
which,
Eastern or Western?
Which
Eastern
hemisphere?
Eastern or Western? Couldn't say, because we're, this is
you're kind of on the line there.
I really don't know which one I'm on, but I...
Probably historically because it's
they call it the
close
West.
To the spot where they would divvy that kind of thing up.
I'm UTC plus zero, I believe, right now.
I think you're the Western hemisphere.
Here's a catch. Here's a little catch. Maybe? I'm in the continent of Europe, but am I in the EU? No, I think.
Yeah, how did that shake out?
because they've exited or whatever. They've Brexited. Yep.
All right. I would have screwed some of this up. I did. I thought you was in England, but you're not.
I think I am.
Oh.
Am I? No, I definitely am. I think. I shouldn't have said definitely, but I'm pretty sure this is England.
Oh, okay. Wait, what city are you in?
Newcastle. Yeah. Newcastle is a cathedral city and metropolitan borough in Tyne and Wear, England.
Oh, okay.
Located on the river.
When I did Google Maps, it tells me that's in Northern Ireland. Maybe there's a different Newcastle.
No, not there. I'm definitely not there.
All right.
But I am Northern England. Let's see.
You're Newcastle upon Tyne. Yes?
Yep.
Okay.
Correct.
So then I can continue here. All right. In that case, you are in England. Or sorry, I will go big to small, right? Okay, so you're in the Northern Hemisphere, undetermined, unsure which east-west hemisphere you're in. But you're in the British Isles. Also, you're in the British Islands. You're also in the United Kingdom. You're also in Great Britain, and you're also in England.
Did you say that I'm in the Western Hemisphere? Because that seems to be true. I
think so.
I'm one. I realize I could just look at the coordinates, and it says I'm 1.6102 degrees west.
Okay. Yeah. I said west earlier. So, yeah. Okay. You're in. Yeah. This.
Cool.
Welcome. I guess you've always been in the Western Hemisphere. Or you're usually in the Western Hemisphere. All right. Nice. So we got that figured out. I want to have some sort of nonsense like this, but for Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I think that we should have more confusing things like that. I mean, I guess you get like, so America refers to one thing, and then North America is it? Do you when you think of America?
You've become. Brazilian. I know Brazilian people love to.
They say that they're American.
Say, oh, those people. They're called United Statesians because Americans are all of us. Wrong.
Well,
I don't really care, but obviously it's just in practice. You can call.
I'm gonna take the opposite position.
We're gonna.
I'm gonna say.
I think we can all share the.
I'm looking at the dang map.
Stance.
Yeah, I'm looking at the dang map.
Yeah.
South America. It's got America. Right there, people in Uruguay, you're Americans. People in Canada, you're Americans.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
That's fine. I agree, but we're also Americans.
Sure. And
a star spangled, both are capital A's, but we'll differentiate ourselves with a star spangled A. We've got like a word.
Congratulations on star spangling your A, by the way.
American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but then there's North and South America. Sometimes people don't call out Central America. I've noticed people sometimes just say we got North America and South America over here. But
well, that's not a continent. Central America is mostly North America, I think.
Yeah. So we've got these political boundaries and we've got geological boundaries in such a way.
We've got mental boundaries too.
Truly. And we are going to get into a lot more border talk about North America here in a little bit. But so I guess that we do have kind of our own version of being confusing over here. And so not only so because we got this word state going on, and like over in the rest of the world, state refers to country. But over here, it's like, nah, state is not country. Some of us actually, more emphatic about that than others.
We were talking about state laws at a team dinner this week, and somebody was asking, explain.
Is this your chance to bring up the New Jersey laws, drinking and driving laws, or whatever that you're excited
this
about?
This is I was already talking about that at that point. I had to explain state laws. Yeah, we landed on. Just imagine you got the EU. And then also all the countries are states and were states.
Yeah.
Which was probably not a very good way to describe it because I don't really know what the EU does on laws.
Sure.
But just imagine we can override sort of laws in the Star Spangled America.
How do you pronounce USASIANS?
USAINUS?
No. USASIANS, like capital USA.
US Asians?
Do people use that as a demonym for people from the United States?
I think the people that are that insist that Americans be reserved to refer to everyone in North and South America probably do. I don't think anyone uses that as other than that.
But is that how you would say it? I've only seen it written, like saying U.S. Asians.
I guess so.
It seems. I don't know.
It's fine.
I mean, is it? I feel like that's unfair to actual Asians, perhaps.
Yeah.
There's not like a connection geologically there. Anyway,
I don't like it. I gotta say, I don't like it when I'm abroad and you've got some other American people with you. And they kind of, I don't know how the right way to describe it, but like they use other countries' names for us. Like if you're an American and you refer to yourself as a Yankee and you're not talking about
the dang team,
Yankees.
If you're not Aaron Judge,
yeah,
why are you saying that?
Why? Yeah, why are you saying that, dude?
That's weird.
I'm trying to think of a comparison, but yeah, don't use other people's what's the right word? It's not disparaging.
But like it kind of is because it would be like, I'm going to use the lightest version I can possibly think of here. A French person saying like, yeah, here we are. We're a bunch of frogs, right? Something like that. Like, and it only gets worse from there. Like you wouldn't probably do that. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Don't do that. Not really. This isn't really like it's not really like a nationalist take, but I guess you should be a little bit more just self-respecting, I guess. Other people can joke about that kind of stuff. They can call you that. You don't have to get mad about it, but like, don't say it back to them. It really seem like a pushover.
I don't know if that's why I have a problem with it. You're like, stick up for yourself. Come on. Why don't you do a little bit of colonialism while you're at it?
No, it's not that. It's just, you know, somebody, I don't know, whatever. You're just bowing up, you know. You don't, just if somebody calls you a name, oh, I am a big dummy. I am a big airhead. Whatever. I don't know what people.
I have less of a problem with that, and more so that it. I think it grants the other disparaging names for all the other countries. Like, if I'll say, like, people from the United States are obviously Yankees, and then you're like going through, like, well, he's thinking about the word Canuck a lot now. Now he's thinking about the word the ball and the other bad ones. That's how he thinks of the world as divided up into the the disparaging demonyms rather than just like the official ones. We picked a hell of a week to talk about border stuff, I'm realizing. But it's just because you happen to be upon the Tyne. How is the Tyne?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I've been walking around all day. I kind of forgot to put that on my to-do list today. I've seen
that's the river, right? Yeah, the River Tyne.
I've seen it, I guess, from the road because I've been in a bunch of cabs, but haven't walked up to it. Haven't taken a bath in it. Taken a dive.
You haven't been yourself upon it yet.
No.
Yeah.
I don't really know about that kind of stuff. I did see a castle today, though. Apparently the new castle, I think. Or maybe it's called literally the old castle. I can't remember, but I did see a castle today. I've seen some old stuff. Someone told me this week that
you got to go to Long Benton while you're there.
There's a ton of pubs here.
Yeah.
I got to say, a lot of restaurants in general. And I will hand it to them. They really do be having, local businesses that are older than our country, you know?
Yeah.
I'll hand it to you for that. I know people tease about that kind of stuff, but yeah, like there's a pub across the street from my hotel that says established 1536 or something like that. It's like, damn, dude. I guess like Christopher Columbus back then, I think.
They did have him back then, I suppose.
He might have come back. I don't really remember what happened to him. What happened to that guy?
Yeah, you never heard too much after his old thing.
He really fell off.
Yeah, dude. they've got very silly names around here for a lot of stuff.
You're here now too?
Well, here, yeah. Now I'm here looking at the map. Here you got Killingworth, Camperdown, Hazelrig, Wide Open. Y'all got a neighborhood called Wide Open? Nice. Cramlington.
Yeah.
Seton Sluice. All right. Well,
I went to a movie today. A movie theater.
Kibblesworth. All right, I'm closing the map.
Can't remember what they
You went to the dang cinema?
The cinema. The picture house. I'm trying to think of a disparaging, sounding name that they probably have for it. But I think it was just called a cinema. And it was like one of those tiny ones where they got like nice love seats and stuff like that, you know? And
but they spell it
L-U-V
seats. They
got a whole drink menu.
Love seat.
They got a whole big menu and they want to serve you like a burger or some lobster or something like that. And I was like, no, I'm
prawns.
Are they serving
you prawns and chips there?
Prawns. I got some fish and chips at the office from the office. I think they call it a canteen, cafeteria, subsidized food zone.
Sure.
they literally had fish, chips, and mushy peas. I'm like, damn, hold the mushy peas. No thanks.
It feels racist for you guys to be serving this, to be honest.
Wait, why?
I mean, kind of on the nose for you guys, don't you think? Okay. How were the fish and chips?
It wasn't that good, but it was also a work cafeteria thing. I mean, I would say it was not good, but it was work cafeteria thing, so who cares? I've had some other pretty good sandwiches during the week. I had a good thing. I guess this doesn't help you very much, but I had been going to this station in the cafeteria all week and getting like they call it a toasty, which is just like a sub,
Oh, okay.
Like a meatball sub or something like that, but they call it a toasty. And I don't know what they call it if it's not toasted. I think they also still just call it a toasty, but
a limp toasty.
They had like cold, a cold one. They had like colder ones, you know. Like
you got a cold one?
Have, like deli meat.
I know about that. I know about cold ones.
I had been looking at this thing. They had like, it looked like curried chicken in a sandwich. And I've been looking at it for a couple days, and finally on Thursday, I was like, I'm going to try that out. I want to see if she's going to cook it for me or if it's going to come cold and it's cold. And it was pretty good.
Interesting.
It's not like life changing, but I was like, that's a good
No, that does sound good.
It was good. I'm trying to think if I've had any other like really good food, but that's a good dinners. Nothing particularly life changing, and I would say a lot of the really good, like the good food, has probably been stuff that's not exactly English local stuff.
Sure.
Did like Spanish tapas last night.
Oh, nice.
Good, but you guys don't get to claim that here.
Yeah. I feel like if you're eating traditional castle food, it's got to be like leg of deer and like a goblet of wine kind of thing. Whole roasted pig, I don't know, out of a cornucopia kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
What did you see at the cinema?
The Holdovers, starring Mr. Paul Giamatti. I would say it was pretty middle of the road.
Really?
I expected it to be really good, and yeah, it's fine. I came around on it. First hour, I was like, dang, I really showed up for a movie that's not going to be any good. And then I kind of came around on it, but yeah, it's not. I'm not going to say to add that to your list, especially if you're not going to the theater as much as me. Probably don't put that high on your list.
Interesting. That's too bad.
It was fun seeing all of their previews and seeing some previews for movies that I'm like, damn, dude, you guys are really behind. I've seen that. I've been traveling for 2 weeks. I think this is the first movie I've seen so far this month in the theater. And I've seen some of these movies that you guys are getting previews for. There were a bunch of women sitting in front of me, like elderly women, and they were like, they were drinking wine and talking through the preview. Everybody's talking, not through the movie, but they talked through the previews. I'll say that. But I'm a cultured person. I learn how how to.
You
adjust
to the local customs.
Here means being loud and talking through the previews. But yeah. They also.
I think it's so interesting how you all are so rude here. I just love how you're all so rude.
They do ads during the thing, so it'll be like, here's one for Godzilla Minus One, and then here's another one that's for the Samsung Galaxy Note or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then they'll go right back to, and then they have,
I think,
like,
they do
PSAs
that here. Do they not
too?
Do that in New Jersey?
No, but they do that ahead of time, right? Isn't that what you're talking about?
Sometimes they'll do like a prestige Coca-Cola ad in the middle of something, I think, like during the previews.
They do at the AMC, they do like an AMC ad that includes Coca-Cola
yeah.
at the very end, but it's not like a new, these are like TV.
No, they'll do
ads.
Like
a,
yeah,
these
they'll do like a 30-second spot sometimes, I think, in the middle of the previews, and then go back to a preview. But like, it is rare.
Okay. I haven't seen that before, so okay, maybe it's not just a here thing, but yeah. So I thought that was interesting. They really liked that. They did a PSA for the Holocaust, I guess. I don't really know what to say about that, but they did a PSA that was like literal Holocaust videos, and then at the end it said like, I don't know what the date was, but let's say like February 1st, and then it said, please, and then it was like underscored, safely light a candle and put it in your window or something like that. Oh, okay, interesting. People were taking pictures of it too. They like these wine moms or whatever. Not, they're not moms.
Wine
moms.
Elderly
people. They pulled out their phone to take a picture of the reminder thing. So I guess reminding themselves of Holocaust Remembrance Day or something like that, or maybe the part about safely putting out a candle, I don't know. So that was interesting. And then they did Yeah, all these. So all these people, they're bantering. They're bantering through all of the previews, and then they put on a preview for the Zone of Interest, which I've told you about before that I really want to see. And I think they were showing it in the U.S. a couple months ago, so that it'd be eligible.
Really
for
limited
awards.
Release, though.
Yeah, I think they're going to do a wider release coming up here. And then, so this was like the first real preview I've ever seen of it in a theater. And got to say, it looked pretty good. But that really brought down the mood of the audience.
The Holocaust,
I think they
preview to Zone of Interest. Like, people were still riding high after the...
They weren't riding high, but they were talking through it, you know? But then they did the Zone of Interest. And also these women at the end, they were doing the thing that Shelly, they sort of the thing that Shelly and I do, which is at the, for us, Shelly and I do the
gladiator, yeah,
style thumbs up, thumbs down. And all these women at the end, they kind of go down the line to one another and they'd say, yup, yup, like to the things that presumably they liked. And then at the end, the Zone of Interest, like, completely killed all the talking in the room, which I guess, I don't know, maybe that's a sign that it's going to be, you know, pretty good, like people say. But it was silent. Well, it wasn't silent at the beginning, because I don't know how much you know about it, but it's like, you know, it's like people,
I've seen the trailer, like, or at least a trailer, and it's
you get the it's a family that's sort of living next to, I mean, I think their father or whatever is like a guard or the head of, I don't know, Auschwitz or something like that. He's a Nazi.
Yeah.
And then these are the family of them, and they're just house and garden and playground right up against the walls. And so, like, first couple seconds are like just a woman walking in her backyard. And like, I immediately recognized it. So yeah. I knew what it was. But they didn't. So people are still kind of like chatting. She's walking in her backyard and then like getting like kids ready for speaking German, but it's like she's like getting her kids ready for the day or something like that. And then at some point, like, the little daughter goes like, you know, Hail Hitler or something like that. And then all the women are like, aw. And then it went silent for another like 90 seconds of the preview or whatever. And then they did not go down the line. And
they
instead,
didn't give a big
yep. Yeah, instead one of the women, she just said, no, no. Like, very solemnly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway, those are just my remarks on the theater experience.
Did you see speaking of the trailers that you would say hell yeah at, did you see the trailer for Monkey Man?
No.
With Dev
I know what you're
Patel?
Talking about. But I haven't seen it. No.
No, it's a great trailer.
Is it a Jordan Peele movie, or he's just produced it or something?
He's getting
his name somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. He's sucking up a lot of the credit, and I guess I don't know. I think the movie was already made, and then he just bought it or bought the theater rights or something like that. But like, yeah, Dev Patel made it.
Oh, it says he's director. Yeah. Okay. Dev Patel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Jordan Peele came in after. It was all over, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. This looks great. I saw people saying that, like,
I see it's a thriller.
Yeah. I saw people suggesting that it maybe is Dev Patel's like bid to be the next James Bond. Which I think, I mean, I think he would be a good James Bond. I feel like Dev Patel should do it. He doesn't need James Bond. And James Bond is better when it's like an unknown person or whatever. He'll be like too blocked in with that kind of stuff. I want him to be doing his weird stuff on his own. But the trailer looks really good.
Okay. Huh. I will take a look. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. And my eyes are just kind of glazed over, but I'm just like recognizing names like Jackie Chan, John Wick, Scott Adkins, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm like, okay, these are Donnie Yen.
I don't think so
I don't think there are either, but I gotta say, just without reading any sentences still and having not seen the trailer. I'm interested. I'm interested now. Nice. You know? I wonder what these guys have to do with the movie.
Yeah. It seems to have that Charlton Copley guy in it, I assume, as a villain. He's a very villainous guy.
I'm looking at this guy and I don't quite recognize him. I see, okay, I'm looking at it, District 9 and Chappie, mm-hmm. and the Spike Lee old boy, which, okay.
Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, me either. No.
Shelly and I watched Old Boy recently, which I think I talked about, but yeah.
Do you remember
what happens in Old Boy?
Yes.
I really forgot. I might have said that before, but I
don't think we talked about your rewatch.
Oh. Shelly and I rewatched it. I think I put this in my Letterboxd review, but like, I thought I remembered what happened in Old Boy. Well, I guess I didn't think I remembered how the story went, but I knew like the beginning, basically. And when what's his name? Choi Min-sik. I just remember him being in the, you know, hotel room looking thing for a very long time. And I became a little alarmed when I watched the full movie again. I don't know if I want to spoil it for people here, but spoil a 20-year-old movie for anybody here. But I became alarmed because I thought I knew what happened. And I know very recently at work, I made a comment at work that like, oh, I'm kind of in like an old boy situation.
Hopefully you were in a big hammer fight in a hallway or something, or eating an octopus.
Yeah. And I thought I was referring to, like, I guess I just really didn't remember. I don't think I've seen it since like middle school or something, like around the time when, you know, like, oh, what's I'm learning about IMDb. I'm hearing that there are movies that are not just made for 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Now, what are good movies? And then like Old Boy, you know, very popular, very, you know, well-regarded movie. And so I'm like watching Old Boy for the first time. I thought, like, just having not seen it for a long time, I think it was kind of coded in my mind as probably like a more like slow, introspective movie or something like that. Like, I remember the hammer scene, but I remember, like, you know, the top of the building at the beginning of the movie. Completely forgot everything after that. Forgot that there's like actual real kind of action and violence and the core thing that I'm not spoiling. But it sounds like you remember. So yeah, I know that I've used the phrase like, this is kind of like I'm kind of in an old boy situation.
Just meaning that you're thinking about stuff. Right now. Like, I'm just over here contemplating things and being introspective. That's what I mean by being in an old boy situation.
Yeah.
Jesus yes. Christ, Ben.
And then I'm watching the end of that movie, and then I'm like, I need to circle back
with some people.
I literally had like the same face on my face as he does at the end of the movie. You know, the
when
part
he
where
realizes
the photo he gets the photo book and he's flipping backwards in the photo book and it's starting to dawn on him.
Uh-huh.
And then the same thing is dawning on me. Like,
I've been telling people.
What do people think I've been
Jesus.
Doing?
That was watching that movie. I think I watched it about the same time, like in middle school, with like finding out like what are some like good movies, and it like blew my mind. I didn't know that like you could be like you could do that in a movie, like be so fucked up, you know, that kind of thing. And I understand the, you know, the creator of it has, you know, wrestled with its legacy in those types of ways. But like, it was very eye-opening as a young movie, burgeoning movie head, or movie fan, I should say.
Wait, when you say the creator, you're talking about Park Chan-wook or the person who wrote the manga?
No, the director. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Park Chan-wook.
Yeah. And I don't know, he's the Blank Check podcast did a good, like, went through his filmography, and it's interesting to like how they, I don't know,
yeah,
the series of interviews that he's done post that movie, and you know, dealing with that, how he brought that story to the screen, that kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not remembering the specifics, but like that was an influential movie for me.
Have you seen Decision to Leave yet?
No.
I'm so behind on that. This is like a
yeah, that was last year, right? Or 2022?
No, two years ago. Shelley's mom told me about it, and I was already like, Shelley's mom told me about it because she saw it on like WeChat or something when it was like going to get released, and she's like telling me about it because it seems like the exact kind of thing that I would like.
Yeah,
and I like Tong Wei a lot. I don't like Park Chan-wook that much, but I still haven't seen it. And then it's on my mind right now. Old Boy's on my mind because another Newcastle thing that I've liked. I was walking around and I saw they got a Blu-ray store.
So oh wow! It actually is a thing.
It was like a mostly it was like a Blu-ray and video game store, and I would say it was mostly video games, but they did have a big couple walls of Blu-rays. And I saw Decision to Leave on the wall.
They call it Video Game Upon Tyne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nintendo Upon Tyne.
I really want to see. I got to see that. Have we talked about The Handmaiden before?
Yeah, and you really didn't like it.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Hated it. And I've seen JSA before too, which I didn't like that much, but it was better. I hated Handmaiden though.
The log line for Decision to Leave does seem like something that is right up your alley though. The timeless story of romantic obsession and a detective who falls for his suspect. Like that's a Ben movie if I ever heard one. You're always doing that kind of thing.
I'm always timelessly falling in love.
Mm-hmm. For your suspects.
For suspects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a soft spot for suspects, dude. I gotta say, if I like in my this is me in my interview, like at the station, saying like probably my biggest weakness, suspects, like romantically. Suspects.
I'm a growth hacker mindset style detective, and I'm like every suspect I think of as I'm tenting my fingers so Will can see them, but other people just know I'm tenting my fingers. Every suspect is an opportunity in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything else other than that, I can't really get into growth hacker mindset. I have to put that stuff kind of out of mind as much as possible. Otherwise,
yes,
it'll annoy me. But
yes,
that's what a growth hacker might say.
Uh-huh. Something like that.
A grind set. I keep saying growth hacker. Grind set mindset. Grind mindset guy. Whatever.
Growth hacker. What's that? I mean, I like vibes wise, I think I'm locked in. Like, I think it is like a LinkedIn person.
I think it's probably it's like a person who's really focused on either a business or like social media type personality thing, like tricks to make the popularity of the thing kind of
gotcha.
Explode. For, I think mostly, how would you call it, like unearned media reasons, right? Is that what you call it? Because earned media is like
when you pay for
maybe
coverage.
Maybe I don't know. No. Maybe this isn't the distinction I have in my mind. I'm thinking of earned media as like you did something notable, and that like makes sense to be reported on, versus unearned stuff being like that probably is what you pay for it, but in my mind, in my definition, it's what
you're,
you do.
I think you're just
you're
flipping the definition.
Hacks.
Yeah.
It's where you're doing hacks. It's where you're doing growth hacks to, you know, you didn't earn this. Mm. You just did a little hack.
What would you describe, like, it's like modern day, like, alchemy, right? Is this sort of pseudo-scientific pursuit of improvement in various nebulous ways, but like skill stacking, kind of like phrasing, and how like what would I feel like you run into these types of people, like if this is this just like MBA people, I don't know, but like you say, learning new skills, it's going from 0 to 30% mastery of a skill takes 10 hours. Going from 30% to 100 takes a million hours, kind of thing. So I'm going to be spending 10 hours a week on learning new skills, like a bunch of different skills instead of focusing on one. So I ultimately have so much to offer or something. Like doing, like thinking about things in that way and like scheduling your life and or in, that kind of stuff. Like that's growth hack mindset to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like closely related. This isn't necessarily growth hacking, but closely related in my mind to what you're describing are like the people who do that but have the outsized confidence to be able to this isn't quite the right way to say it. It's more general, or it's more generic than this, but like to be able to have like a only maybe 30% mastery of a skill, which is basically no mastery at all of a skill, but to have the outsized confidence to like monetize that or publicize your skill, those kinds of things. Like every once in a while, last night I saw some video on Twitter and it rolled, or maybe it was something Shelly sent me on Instagram or something like that, and it rolled over, you know, auto scrolled into some other video, and I watched the whole video because it just seemed so stupid that I was like, I'm gonna love this. I gotta see this through. It was some guy that's like, you know, pointing at the top of the screen, which I've seen before, or pointing at the text that he's gonna put on the top of the screen. He's like, here are 5 websites that you need to know about. And then he just describes 5 pretty much random websites. And then that's the video. And it's got like 50 billion views or something like that. And I clicked on his account and he, you know, that's just his thing. It's like,
here are some websites.
Here are some websites.
He figured out the
other
website discovery issue though. It's like, now we're just all on like the same 4 websites. This guy's got the rest of the sites.
But then he did it for like other skills, if you want to call it that too, where it's got like a video, like scrolling through the thing, he's got videos like what was it, something about cooking. He's like, here are 3 must-have kitchen tools for cooks, home cooks. And then
fork,
like, you know,
knife, bowl, here you go,
blender. Yeah. I mean, they really were like that. There was like, it was like it, the picture was like a blender or something like that. So
you guys have to check out refrigerator,
ice machine. Have you ever heard of you might have heard of a refrigerator with a built-in ice machine. Did you know that you can go to Costco and buy an external ice machine, dedicated ice machine?
Bro, I've been learning all about the kind of things that you can, all the kinds of different devices and machines that you might be able to have independent of one another that are dedicated to 1 or 2 tasks that you might be able to have in your house.
Yeah.
Well, having a crash course in that.
But you just have to have the confidence to do that with like, I don't know, video editing stuff or whatever that, you know, people make videos and it's like, have you heard about it? I don't even know what to make fun of for video stuff because I don't know anything, but like, did you know that you can split a video in half by going to edit and cut?
Oh, it's,
and then select a spot on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then follow me for more videos about websites.
I should start collecting those things and like get Chris to collect them too and come on and talk about this, because it's crazy stuff that we see. I try not to click on them because I don't like doing hate watching stuff and I don't want to like continue to ruin my suggestions, but like I'm seeing thumbnails and titles for things. Something that just has like completely broken my brain recently is seeing, there's some video up there that I keep seeing suggested to me, but it's one of these like lifestyle influencer, but for camera dumbasses like myself. And it's like a photo of them like holding some camera rig that, you know, is fetishized to all hell on YouTube. And like the title is something that like, film a Netflix quality film in one day kind of thing, or like, but using the term like Netflix quality has just completely broken me. Like, what is that supposed to mean? I can't begin to wrap my head around that. Does that mean bad? Because I'm going to Netflix and I'm looking at these things and it seems bad, but I think they mean it to mean good. Are they using that as shorthand for Hollywood? Like, instead of, have we stopped saying Hollywood? Or I'm yearning for the days when we would just say cinematic in all caps to mean something, or get the film look.
Yeah.
Completely meaningless terms.
Yeah.
You need these three things to make a movie: lights, camera, action. And that's the only my only YouTube short. Go platinum on YouTube shorts.
I think the business equivalent, the corporate equivalent of that for those videos is, I've seen ones that are like, here's how to make your here's how to make a good PowerPoint title page. And then they'll be like, I saw one of these yesterday and it's like, go to Google Images and find a high resolution photo of Albert Einstein, drag it into photo into PowerPoint, what do you call it when it's 16:9?
Oh, the aspect ratio. Yeah.
Set the aspect ratio to 16:9 or whatever it is. Click on the picture. Right click on the picture. Click. Turn it to black and white. Now take a square and drag it halfway across the page. Turn it blue. Grab a font. Pick Helvetica. Make it bold. Type your title in all caps, and then right click and select invert or whatever. Now you have a really good title page. It's just how you made one title page. This is not really a transfer. I mean,
yeah,
in theory it is, but it's not really a transferable skill.
Right.
Taught anyone.
Yeah, this is how to do it. It's like, you get a picture of
this is
Albert
how to make my title page.
That's crazy.
This is how to make my TED talk about about Albert Einstein title page.
This exact thing I talked about this with Atticus, but I think as would people, I think there are things to be worried about as far as like generative AI taking over movies or artistry or something like that. I don't know. I don't even really mean to get into that too much, but like when people are talking about this type of stuff, makes me like less worried about it, I think, because people are already like repeating everything they see. Like people have already become like bad AI models, if you want to talk about that. Or like they're already like replicating nonsense like without meaning and creating a bunch of garbage anyway. That like, I don't know, for some reason I'm not too worried about it, especially if AI tries to start like replicating what people are already doing. Like, well, people are already replicating bad garbage, so we'll just have even more bad garbage out there.
This reminded me of like an even worse offender. This type of thing is, do you ever run across the type of videos that are like, here's how you can make $7,000 a month like me, and then they tell you exactly what their business is? So I saw one that was like, a woman, she's like, here's how you can quit your job and make $7,000 a month like me. Oh, okay. Listening in, let's see what you got. And she's like okay, every week on Sunday you go to Costco you buy an entire pallet of mayonnaise. You buy an entire pallet of like red food coloring or something like that. And you buy like pickle relish or something like that. And then you go to Etsy and you buy these mason jars, these cute mason jars and some twine. And then every day on Monday, you dump all of the mayonnaise out of the ugly bottles into the glass jars and you drop in food coloring and the pickle relish and you mix it all up until it becomes pink slime. And then you sell this.
Is that what the pink slime what people were buying and getting sick off of was like a couple years ago?
It might have been the same thing. Yeah. same idea. And it's like, and you sell it for $50 a bottle or something like that. And you, because you bought a pallet, you make this many and blah, 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 and you make $7,000. And it's like, follow me for more tips on how to make money. It's like, that's just your business, you know? Like,
also, you should go to jail for this, I think.
You should probably go to jail for it. But yeah, even if it was like a useful thing, I mean, I realize that the real business there is being the grifter who's making the video.
Yeah.
It's like being a VC person, you know, you make money in a gold rush by being the person who sells the shovels, you know. So you're making the videos. That's how you're really going to make a lot of money or whatever. But if you just try to take it at face value, don't you see that, like, can't all just make pink slime? You can't all make pink slime and sell it for $50. Actually, as soon as just like one or two other people start doing it, I mean, whatever, presumably it's not a big market, but like as soon in
I can't theory, imagine it
as
is
soon as anyone else comes into as soon as anyone else comes into the market, like, don't you see how this isn't going to work? You're not all going. It's not
the
a
pink slime influencers are at war. They're killing each other.
Yeah.
Over who gets to sell what sounds like the grossest shit of all time. Pickle relish mixed in with mayonnaise and red food coloring. Good Lord. I thought like it sounds like something you might make if you were a special effects artist on a movie and you needed to make like viscera splattered over a parking lot for John Wick 5 or something. That's disgusting.
Oh, okay. Speaking of that, I gotta say, okay, they got a lot of pubs here in Newcastle. They got a lot going. They're good. They're good ones too. You know, like in the U.S., even in a college town, you got a lot of, I suppose, especially in a college town, you got a lot of bars that are basically the same thing, and they've all got the same beer on tap, and they've all got the same stuff behind the bar. Gotta say,
you've been here, some top pubs.
They got some good. They got some good Scran. I heard somebody in real life say Scran today coming out of the theater. He said to his date, his wife, or something like that. He's like
the bird that he had on his shoulder.
yeah. Anyway, they've got good bars here, and like every bar had like that I've been to basically had like an entirely different set of taps, and they had like a ton of them, which was pretty impressive. But I went to one last night. I was like, damn, this is a good bar, and it's not a fancy thing. It's a pub, not a fancy pub. I made the mistake though of ruining the entire experience by walking into the restroom, and it was exactly like the restroom in Trainspotters. I assume you've seen Trainspotters.
Yeah.
Trainspotting. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was truly the most disgusting bathroom restroom I've ever seen. And that is all I could think of was you and McGregor, right? Like crawling down. I stood there. I really had to go bad. And I didn't really know where we were because we went like to a restaurant, and then they were like, oh, you want to go to a pub? And I couldn't tell how long people were going to be around before we like went back to the hotel or something. And so I stood there for like a good 30 seconds, just kind of frozen, like,
am I going to do this?
Am I going to do this?
Oh, like, my God.
This is so, like just to walk in and be like, this is so disgusting. I don't even know if I want to pee here.
That's crazy. Yeah. Oh, wow. It was even just number one. Yeah. Not even like.
Just number one. Oh, yeah. No, it was vomit all over the floor. Vomit all over the place.
Oh, dude.
Like the kind of place that like it wouldn't make me feel bad to just pee on the floor. But it was just.
It might
so
clean
disgusting.
It up.
Like,
to do
I can't
that.
Do it. It might clean it up. Yeah. I walked out. I set my beer down after I've probably drank about like 75% of it, and I set it down like on our table, and I went back and I was like, I
gotta
drink
go
another drop. I didn't drink another drop. Yeah.
Good Lord.
It's so disgusting. Train spotty. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, they gotta figure that out. That's not, you can't have that. I'm taking this to, I'm just seamlessly adding that to like all British people are okay with disgusting bathrooms. Like in my head, like that.
In your mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, man. Are good with this?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
I guess to get a top pub, you gotta have a nasty bathroom, I suppose. Why can't you all be clean back there?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to go.
Yeah.
If it's okay, because I gotta probably go to another place like that. Which good on the outside, just not gonna go into the bathroom. But I gotta, work trip, so I gotta go with the people who are gonna pay for it.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'm gonna have to pay for this crap on my own.
Yep. All right. Enjoy yourself.
Yep.
Get home safe. Thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy yourselves.